So this week, several days ago, I had a dream. Really, you know, some dreams are really cool. Some dreams, you, when you wake up, you're just really bummed because you wanted it to keep going. Yeah, I was dreaming about Rob. No, it wasn't. Not this one, actually. It was really one of those things where you wake up and you think, man, I'd like to have really known how that played out, you know. And so I ended up staying up the rest of the night and into the next couple days, playing out various scenarios in my mind as to how that might play out. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about it today because I think it's thought-provoking for everybody. But in this dream, I was just suddenly transported back to the first day of college when I was about 22 years old. And I was, only thing is, I knew everything from now. You know, I mean, I just got back, but I had, you know, I was me now, only back then, in a slightly more conditioned body. Actually, I don't even remember that part, but what that was like. But I remember being there and realizing, okay, I'm back here at the first day of college, and I just got transported back in time, and everything's kind of going on. Well, the first thing that went through my mind was that, you know, what about Michelle? Okay, that's where we met, was at college. So I thought, okay, well, if I'm back in college here, where's Michelle? And will Michelle remember, you know, all of the time? Or will she just not even know who I am? So you have all these kind of scenarios. So in the dream, I'm still in the dream at that point. I go in and I found Michelle, and she had the same memories. So nobody else there did. But Michelle and I were both going, what just happened? You know, here we are, we're back here. Now, we're not married. If it's the first day of college, then she was still with her high school flame. And so, you know, there's a number of practical considerations to think through. But she did remember. I tracked her down, and she remembered. And then the discussion naturally turned to, what do we do? You know, are we going to go down the same road that we went down? Are we going to do the same things we do? This is after, it's a lot to consider after 28 years together. And it's kind of a scary question to ask your wife. If we were back, if you're back at that time, and you're asking her, and you had the option of whether to actually marry me knowing what you know now? That's a scary question to ask your wife. There's a bunch of guys are going, it is a scary question. And the next day, as I was playing out this dream, I was talking to Michelle about it later that day and did ask that question. And she said, yes, she would marry me again, just for the record, so everybody knows. But it is quite a thing. It's a question that you would ask. And also the other ones, would we head out on the same sort of ministry? Would we buy a travel trailer and head out on the road for all those years? Would we avoid the opportunities we avoided and take the ones we took? Would we have done the discipleship center ministry that was so challenging? Would we plant a church in Marsing? You know, all those questions that you ask yourself in that setting, and you go, wow, if I was back there at that place, you know, the first huge significant question is about getting married, you know. I mean, it's a big one. It's a huge one. People who are young or whatever else here today, it's a huge decision, okay? Because it has the power to alter much of your life for better or for worse. And believe me, for better or for worse is a real thing. But that's one of those first questions that kind of came. And still in the dream, we were talking about that. And we decided, yes, we were going to get married, and then I woke up. And, you know, of all these things, though, would we have done these things? And then on the question, would we even have wanted to know? You know, there was a wonderful sense of adventure in seeking the Lord step by step. You know, going along and just figuring it out in the Lord as you go. So ultimately, we decided we would go down the same road, really. I mean, these are things that God called us to, so it certainly would have happened whether we wanted to or not. We would have done it. But obviously there are some things that I would do differently. Obviously, I would be a different person to some degree, be a better husband and father. I would buy stock in Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google, which would probably lead to me not pastoring here right now. That would have altered. I'd be on the beach someplace, I'll tell you what. Some blue water, white sand, I'm telling you. But seriously, though, I expect we would all change some things. But I would definitely want to marry my wife. I want to have the children that we have. I'd want to live the ministry we've lived, certainly with some adjustments gained from hindsight. I woke up at 3:56 in the morning. I know because I looked at my phone. And then laid awake with my head just spinning on various scenarios, because now I'm out of the dream and I'm just going through all these different things and all this different stuff that's rolling through my mind. And then when Michelle and I were talking about the next day and through the rest of this last week, it's just been right at the forefront of my brain of just going, you know, what really would I have done differently? What would I have done differently? Now, the what ifs. Come. The what ifs. What if this had happened? What if that had happened? What if this hadn't have happened? What if this hadn't what if we had done some of the things? What if Michelle and I had gone to do crusades in Africa back when that option was open to us? See, back when we were just about to plant this church, we had calls to go do this thing in India and Africa, where we'd start doing these tours where we're doing crusades for 20,000 people at a time. And that came to mind, but we just felt it wasn't what the Lord had for us. What if we'd gone, though? What if we'd never been involved in some of the ministries we have been involved in and led? What if we never had the van accident that so affected our lives in 1995? In reality, if the circumstances of that dream really happened, I think I would honestly make most of the same major life decisions, minus some mistakes along the way. But the whole scenario, with this whole scenario, comes the inevitable. Regrets. It's too bad that when we think on something like that, it leads us to places where we might think through the mistakes we've made rather than looking back and saying, you know, there's been some great stuff happen along this road. There have been some terrific things. But see, the enemy loves to get us looking backwards. And so the inevitable, as I tell this story and as you leave here, and maybe it'll be on your mind of going, what if that had happened? What if I could go back to when I was 22 years old? And whatever, the reason I think that was such a significant point for me is that was the point that I'd left Alaska and I'd gone to college and right before Michelle and I got married. So it was a very big changing time. What if at that place, what if? You know, I was 2 weeks away from marrying my fiance in Alaska when God really got a hold of me and I decided I was going to follow his call and go into ministry, and she was not initially excited about that. The invitations were out. We had money down on a condo on the water there in Juneau. It was all just coming to pass. And then right then, God gets a hold of me. What if that hadn't taken place? All these thoughts. But regrets are what come to our mind a lot of times when we think about the past. Now, the first thing, we talk about what we do with regrets. You don't get through this life without having a certain number of regrets. You just don't, unless you've managed to do everything right all along the way. I'm sure for most people, you have in your mind the roads not taken or the roads you took that you shouldn't even look down. Most of us have those. Sometimes it's our foolish mistakes, hurt that we've caused others, our sin. So what do you do with the regrets? First of all, you ask yourself if you're still doing the things that led to those regrets. See, a lot of times people will just continue down a road even when it's just messed up, and they'll sit and talk about how much they regret these things that they've done even the last 10 years, or maybe the way they've treated the people around them or something like that, but they're still doing the same thing. They regret it, but they're still doing the same thing. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11, it says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For above, observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all these, you proved yourself to be clear in this matter." See, godly sorrow produces repentance. When we think about regret, I mean, there are things that I can just tell you, yeah, I regret having done that, or regret having made that decision, or regret something along that line. I don't carry a whole bunch of guilt from it because Jesus has washed me clean. But I have, I mean, I can't sit there and go say, no, I don't regret having done that. Certainly there are things in my past that I regret. But I know that it's in the past. So what do we do? The first thing is, if we are still doing the same things that led to those regrets in the first place, then repent. And repent means a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of attitude. It doesn't just mean sorrow. See, sorrow is not repentance in itself. You can see that in the scripture. Sorrow is just living with regret. Repentance, yeah, thank you. Repentance is dealing with regret. It's dealing with it. It's letting... putting it in the place where God can set us free, where we can he can cast it in that sea of forgiveness, and that far as the east is from the west, it's actually dealing with regret, not just living in regret. Not just sitting there thinking, oh, what if all the time? If only. What if? If only. It's a scary place to be. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to repent. Some of us today are living with consequences of the things we did or did not do that we regret. What do we do with that? One of the most common regrets I hear from people is that they wish they had done things differently in raising their children. And who here with grown children would not say that? You know, all my kids are adults now, or at least in biological age. But, you know, who here among us with grown children would not say, boy, I wish I'd done some things differently, you know. And, you know, that's one of the ones that's hardest to let God take and throw in that sea of forgiveness, sea of forgetfulness, far as the east is from the west. It's one of the toughest ones, because you will look back and live with, and then as sometimes as your children make bad decisions, you'll wonder, what if I had just done this differently? What if I'd just done that differently? And if you're here today with grown children and you don't have any regrets, you really ought to write one of those books about parenting, those things that, how I never made any mistakes as a parent. You know, I'd be really great. But I mean, it's just one of those examples. There's many things that we have, but it's one that's very common to parents who have grown-up children to look back and go, what if I just spent more time? What if I just done this or that? What if I had dealt with it at this point the way that I should have dealt with it at that point? What if I had, you know, just done this or done that? And it's one of the most powerful regrets that there is. It's huge. It's huge. And even if you were a really good parent, still, my other regrets. Some of you guys here, when you were raising your children, you were not believers. You were messed up people. I know you guys readily admit that. But you readily admit that. But the reality is, what do you do with that? You accept God's forgiveness and believe for the best now. You also don't take responsibility for everything. I made a joke about that on Kira's birthday, but it's seriously, you can't be responsible for every decision that your adult children make, you know. They're making their own calls and they're making their own decisions. Ultimately, we can, you know, admit where we went wrong. I think that's good. We shouldn't be in denial, you know, of where we went wrong. But we also shouldn't just live in regret. We should believe that God is still able. That God is still able. There are many things we can regret that lead to lasting consequences, but what do we do with those? Philippians 3:12-14 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. See, Paul was a guy with a lot of reasons for regret. In fact, when he went into ministry, everybody was still reminding him, weren't you the guy that were getting all of us killed? I mean, weren't you the horrible fellow who was just holding the coats while Stephen was stoned? He had a lot of reason for regret. A lot of reason to just go, man, why would God ever use my life? You know, look at who I was. How could God ever use me? He could have just sulked and lived with the regret. And yet he said, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we know that Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. And that does not mean that God takes the bad things you've done and somehow makes them good. It means that he can use even the bad things for good in the future and now. So believe that even those things, God can redeem it. He doesn't make it all right, or doesn't make the wrong things right, but he can redeem those things. He can redeem time. He can redeem relationships. He can redeem us. Now that once again brings us back to the core of faith itself, and that is simply trust in Jesus, trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Trust him even with your regrets. Some of you, maybe when I ask that question, now I got to be careful not to look at anybody when I say this. So, because they'll think, oh, he's looking right at me, so I'm just looking over here. When I ask that question about how scary it is to ask my wife after 28 years, took back to the beginning, before we were married, if she would still marry me knowing what she knows now, some of you might be sitting here and thinking, if I could go back and make that decision again, I wouldn't. And that's a scary thought. But even if that's the case, God can redeem it. It's about now. It's about looking forward. It's not about looking back and going, oh, if only, if only. Trust Jesus with your regrets. Trust him. See, we keep reminding him of the past, and the devil keeps reminding us, and we end up living there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the only person who's ever lived any amount of time on this earth that could die with no, looking back with no regrets would be Jesus Christ. For he knew no sin. And he's the only one that could do that. And he looked and he ran that race enduring the cross and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I ask you a question. Do you run a race backwards? And you know, halfway through a race, and when I think race, most time when the Bible talks about, it's talking about running races because they didn't have a whole lot of motocross back then, but I tend to think of motocross racing. But I think if you get halfway through the race and you're halfway through the thing, do you then fixate on all the things you did wrong in the first half? No, you focus on that next half of that race. If you want to win, you're not focused. Hey, if I'm riding motorcycles and I crash in the first half, I don't spend the second half of the race thinking about the crash. I'm just thinking about the finish line. Eyes forward, fixed on Jesus. Not to sit there and just go, wow, you know, running along in your race and going, man, if I just took in that one corner a little tighter, and but I'd done this, I'd done that. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. We look at the race that's in front of us and we focus on that. Folks, a lot of you guys, you might have a lot of regrets in your life. You might lay awake at night with the what ifs and the if onlys or whatever that might be. And God doesn't want you to live there. You don't spend the race thinking about the first half. You spend the race thinking about the next, what's in front of you, what you can do to improve now, not what you could have done to improve then. What you could have done to improve then, what's the point of living there? What's the point of being there? Lay aside the weight, it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Lay aside every weight. That's the weight of regret. The weight of regret, the weight of wondering what if, or if only I had done this or that. What if I'd have been a little more alert and not so goal-focused on the mission during the time period when my wife was facing struggles, battles? That's probably my greatest regret. But you know what? It's then. God has redeemed it. You go forward. What if I'd have been a more attentive husband or a more attentive father? See, I could live there. I could get there easy in my head. I can so easily slide into that world. I can sit there and go, man, what was I thinking? How could I be such an idiot? What in the world was wrong with me? I can live there. I can live there. God does not want me to live there. And he doesn't want you to live there either. Man, what's not the what if, just what now? Yeah. Don't go with what if, go with what now. We don't go to the Lord with what ifs, we go to the Lord with what now. What now? That's fixing our eyes forward, that's fixing our eyes on Jesus, that's running the race forward and not backward, is not to say what if, but rather to say what now. And that's the question we should come to the Lord with. What now? What now? Now, I know that there are a number of you here that can't be transported back to your 20s because you're not 20 yet. And probably you don't go back to when you were 5 years old and go, what if I'd only done this? And the problem is, you haven't lived long enough to make enough mistakes to have enough regrets. Here's what I would tell you. If I could go back, there are a couple things I know I'd do differently. I would certainly follow the Lord more closely. I would certainly seek Him and not myself more. I would certainly live by His word and not my way more. And in doing that, you will avoid getting to be this age and having a whole mess of what ifs. By following the Lord and doing it His way, you will miss having a lot of what ifs. Let God guide your decisions. Let the Lord guide your decisions. Look at the big ones, like who you marry or what you end up doing in your life or the decisions that you make along the way. Let God lead you in those decisions, and you don't become this age and go, what if? See, I'm thankful. I don't actually have a ton of regret in my life, frankly. And most of that's just because I really do accept God's forgiveness. It's not because I haven't done anything wrong. But in the big decisions, God has really blessed me. And He's protected me. And it's just by His grace. Like I say, 2 weeks before, I almost married someone else. Obviously, Michelle has been a huge thing in my life, obviously. And everything else that God has done in and through my life has flown as a part of that. I can't even imagine, you know, I can't imagine Benji without Michelle. I can't get that in my head. But I was 2 weeks away from that not being the case. And it wasn't because I just suddenly went, Lord, I'm going to let you guide my decisions now. See, I had come to that place. I'd already got a hold of me, and I decided I was going to ministry, but I wasn't going to give that up. I was deeply in love. This was not something where I had questions about getting married or anything else. I was really, really wanted to marry this girl, this other girl in Juneau. And we'd been engaged for quite a long time. I wasn't happy about the situation. I was devastated. But what happened was I called her and said, I'm leaving all this. I'm leaving the lumber business, leaving all these things, and I'm going to go into ministry. God's been telling me for years, and I can't run from it anymore. And last night, He just came on me in power. And I don't know where I'm going, what I'm going to do. I'm going to go serve Jesus. And she said, I really can't marry a minister. And I was devastated. I wrote the song Second Place after that. But 2 days later, she called me back. And she said, you know what? I've decided that I can marry a minister. But I just need you to tell me that you'll always put me first. And she was a sweet girl. Don't get me wrong. She was a very, very nice person. I just said, I said, I've been putting things before Jesus for a long time now. So I'm not going to do that anymore. Young people, let the Lord make these decisions for you. Seek the Lord for his guidance. Don't look for just what you think is best, what you think you want. Seek the Lord and ask, and then you don't get to be 52 years old with a bunch of regrets. Now, again, that one, look at the regrets that the Lord delivered me from there. I mean, look at how he saved me. That one I often think about, but that's a thinking and thankfulness thing, you know. That's where you look back and just go, thank you, Jesus. And again, not because I think this other person was horrible. She's actually still a very nice person. And it just, I look at what God has done in and around that one decision. The decisions matter, guys. The decisions matter. The stuff. But I would, without question, choose to seek the Lord more, to trust the Lord more, to follow him more closely, and to put myself aside more, to hunger after the things of the kingdom more. No matter what your age, the question for the believer remains the same. And the question for the believer is not like that question that's been going through my head this week. It's not, how would you have lived your life up to now if you knew what you know now? That's not really the question. I mean, that's the one that comes to our mind. What would I have done differently? The question is not so much, how would I have lived my life knowing what I know now? Or if I could go back and do it again. The question, the important question, is how will you live the rest of your life knowing what you know now? How will you live the rest of your life knowing what you know now? That's the question. See, because you do know a lot of things now. You are hopefully wiser than you were when you were in your early 20s. Unless you're not 20 yet. But hopefully you are wiser, and hopefully you have that. So the question is not, and the way we should live is not to sit and look back and go, how would I have lived, which this has been on my mind this week just because of that dream, but how would I have lived differently if I'd known then what I know now? The right question is, how will you live the rest of your life knowing what you know now? How will you live the rest of your life knowing what you know now? That's the question. Eyes forward. Eyes forward and on Christ. See, sometimes we refuse to learn from the past. And the things we say we regret from the past, we still continue to do today. We continue in the same attitudes. We continue in the same foolishness. And we are all somewhat guilty, but usually we can see the faults in other people a lot better than we can see them in ourselves. And how many people have you talked to in your life? I guess as a pastor, I have much more of an abundance of this. But how many people have you talked to in your life who keep having the same horrible things happen to them, and you can see from a million miles away exactly why those horrible things keep happening to them? Because they keep doing the same things over and over again. But they can't see it. And I'm sure we're all guilty of that sometimes. Why does this always happen to me? Well, maybe there's a certain pattern in your life that's leading to that. Why do I always seem to pick the worst guys? Because you always seem to pick the worst guys. And the answer's pretty simple, really. Facebook. Why do I always pick these kind? Because you always pick those kind. Not complicated. We just get blind. The reality is we're not seeking the Lord for wisdom in those decisions. If you're here today, folks, I can guarantee a couple things. One, your life is not over. The other one, if you're breathing here today, it means that God still has plans for you. So if you're breathing, if you're not breathing, then, well, okay then. If you are breathing here today, it would be really weird if somebody stopped breathing right now. But if you are breathing here today, it means God still has a plan for you. And it means you don't sit there with the what ifs, you sit here with the what now. And you get fixated not on the what ifs or the regrets, but fixated on what now. What now, Lord? Not the, man, if I hadn't made this or that bad decision, God could have really used my life. He could really be using my life right now. If I hadn't made this or that decision, man, I could really be serving Jesus and things would be right. What if I had just invested in Google at the start? It's a silly one, but funny when you ask people what they do differently, that's usually right where their head goes. I'd invest in Microsoft. You know. Not me, really. Like you say, there's excitement in the adventure of seeking the Lord step by step. There's excitement in those times when you don't know how it's even going to come out, when you don't know how you're going to pull it off or how the Lord's going to pull it off or what's going to come out of it. There's excitement in that. And on the other side, I can say there were many times when I thought, wow, this is it. But I'm still here. In so many ways. Now, if you're looking back, you're not looking unto the one who begun and will complete your faith. The beginning and the end. I've shared with you before about the time I was out riding motorcycles in the desert with Jerry Walker. And I was from Juneau. I'd raced for many years. I was a pretty highly skilled rider. Probably considerably, he would probably argue this point, but considerably probably more skilled than him. They moved and great guy. But anyway, we go out in the desert. Now, I'd only ridden on closed course motocross tracks. In Juneau, Alaska, there's just not much land that isn't either trees 6 inches apart or ocean or a straight up mountainside. So there's limited places you can ride. And the places where I did ride, I knew them very well. I knew every corner. I knew everything that was there. I knew them well. Whole different world when you just go out here and start bombing across the desert and you don't know what's over the next hill. I mean, you're just flying, and you go flying over something, and you're in the air when you're trying to decide what you're going to do next, you know? And I'd never done this before, but I wasn't going to just let him beat me because I was a pretty competitive person. So we are, and he's a good desert rider, okay? And he actually knew some of these trails. That helped him a little bit. But, I mean, we're just flying across the desert, wide open. And I crashed like 5 times. I was just running into rocks and stumps and flying over the handlebars, and I was just beat to death. And Jerry was a regular, you know, motorcycle guy who we just make fun of each other when we get hurt. And I know it seems strange, but it's part of the culture. So I'm laying on the ground and all the dust too. And I just like have an asthma attack and I'm beat up. I've just smashed every part of myself. Bruises everywhere. I'm laying on the ground. And I can barely breathe. I'm going, and he says, he come back and he looked at me. He says, are you going to be coming along? Because I'm going to keep going, but I can call and tell him where to find the body. And then I stood up. I just said, I just don't get this. You know, I mean, I'd be cruising along. There'd be a trail. Be this wide as this carpet here, and there'd be one big rock in the middle, and I'd hit the stupid thing and go over the bars. And he told me, he says, I'm going to tell you something. He says, I'm going to help you out here. You know, because motocross tracks, you don't go flying around a corner and suddenly there's a stump. You know, so I mean, finally he looked at me. He says, I just want to give you one little hint. Says, whatever you focus on, that's where you're going to go. Whatever you focus on, it is true. It's true. You'll see the same thing in a street bike or anything else. If you're going around a corner and there's a cliff on one side and you're looking at that cliff, it like draws you over there. It's weird. You look at the center line, you go over there. It's amazing on a motocross bike. Yeah, now, you know, once I did that, you can find out there can be 25,000 rocks on each side and a 6-inch gap. And you just look at the gap, you go right through it. It's like a miracle. What you focus on, you will hit. Your brain is an amazing thing. And it just drags you toward whatever you focus on, whatever you fixate on. And that isn't just in racing or cars or motorcycles. It's in everything in life. What you fixate on is where you go. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will be following Jesus. If you fix your eyes on your past, you will live in the past. If you focus on your regrets, you will live in your regrets. If you focus even on the things you did wrong yesterday, you will live in the things you did wrong yesterday. But instead of saying, what if, why not say, what now? What now? What now? I'm going to ask these guys and AJ, you want to come up and help us out? And we're going to do a song that I wrote a long time ago. It's called Let It Die. It's interesting because last night when I put in my notes to do this song, I wrote Let It Go, which means that must really be stuck in my head. But we're not doing that one. But I have learned it, however. But can you move that over just a little bit? Years ago, I really lived in Pastor Gret. I lived in Pastor Gret all the time. In fact, the early ministry years, I was driven by Pastor Gret. I was driven by the years that I should have been serving Jesus, that I knew him, but I was just selfish and doing my own thing. I was driven by specific regrets, relationships that I had had with people where I had been, you know, professing Christianity and living on a horrible manner. And I lived with that and actually ministered out of it and eventually was so got this complete physical exhaustion thing, had a blood vessel in my head go and ended up blind for a little while and all kinds of fun stuff. And it was from exhaustion and just stress, and I didn't sleep. In fact, I thought people that slept more than 2 hours a night didn't love Jesus. And, so here I'm trying to make it up for the past and going through all of that struggle of trying to, you know, make it up to God, and just every day in these regrets. I would wake up in the middle of the night specifically with one person, a gal I had dated for a couple of years, her life didn't go too well, you know, after all this. And with all the, what if I had not, what if I'd been right during that time? What if I'd have been who I should have been during that time? You know, where would life be? That's actually what I wrote the song for, but it's more of a big picture thing of finally God just got a hold of me and said, you know, I've forgiven you and you need to forgive yourself. You know, you need to let it die, because often we're the ones that just keep it going and we're just saying what if instead of what now. So. Well, I guess we've all done things that we're not proud of. And I suspect we've all got secrets that we're not willing to share. There are times I feel unworthy of a holy God's love. And the greatest warrior can find himself out running scared. In the corners of my mind, there's still the memories of the things that I regret and all that I wish I could change. In the darkest hours of night, I still see your face. And I trade all that I am to not have caused you so much pain. 'Cause I think of what we had, there's no denying it was real. 'Cause you gave me all you had to give, and I took all I could steal. And when Jesus chose to show me truth, well, I showed you a lie. And I'll carry pain from the sins of my youth till the day I let it die. So I can face the world tomorrow. 'Cause Lord, I've tried to escape the pain and sorrow, the foolish things I've done and the lies that I believe. I've forgiven everyone but me. Oh, I cling to you, your truth can set me free. Well, I know that God's forgiven me, and I know his word is true.
I just can't seem to forgive myself each time I think of you and the life we might have known if I had only shown the truth that I'd cease to think of me and just for once I'd think of you. As I remember what we had, there's no denying it was real. 'Cause you gave me all you had to give and I took all I could steal. And when Jesus chose to show me truth, well, I showed you a lie. And I'll carry pain from the sins of my youth till the day I let it die. Lord, I've tried to escape the pain and sorrow, the foolish things I've done and the lies that I believe. I've forgiven everyone but me. Oh, I cling to you, your truth will set me free. Well, I guess we've all done things we're not proud of, and I expect we've all got secrets that we're not willing to share. Amen. But the song is just to, you know, bring us to that place where, brought me to that place where I went, you know, it's time to let this just die. It's time to not live in the past. It's time to not say what if, but, you know, Michelle can tell you that was 10 years into our marriage. I was still waking up in the middle of the night sobbing and just over the stuff, just broken up over who I had been. And, the worst part of it is I had been that person in the name of the Lord. You know, that was the part that was pretty tough. And, finally, I went, it's not the Lord. You know, sometimes we think that's repentance, that sorrow that we feel over the past. No, sorrow, godly sorrow, the sorrow that's from the Lord leads to repentance, which leads to freedom, which leads to healing. It's not godly sorrow if you're just walking around in sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Worldly sorrow just brings death and misery and pain and stress. Just leave it behind and be the new creation that God has called you to be and walk in the grace that he has given you and say, you know what? That is cast as far as the east is from the west. It is in the sea of forgiveness, the sea of forgetfulness. And I just need to leave it there and say, not what if, but what now? So let's sing the river together. And we'll say, to the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me. Come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. And then just leave it there. Just leave it there today. If you're just living with regret, just leave it at the river today. At the river where Jesus meets us. At the river where Jesus is there for us. Let's stand together. I'm going to stay on the stool because her strap is too short. If God speaks to your heart today, feel free to come forward. People pray with you. If you just need to come and say, I'm leaving that stuff right here at the altar today. I'm leaving it at the altar today. I'm not going to say what if now. I'm going to say what now. I'm not going to say what if. I'm going to say what now. And on those specific things in your life that you're looking at and saying, what if I'd done that differently? Believe that God can redeem it. Believe that God can redeem it. To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready.
Are you ready?
To surrender every care. Oh, take my hand now. Lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
We'll go there together.
Come and join us in that river. Come find life beyond compare. He is calling and he is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling, he is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there.
I'm ready to surrender every care.
Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender. Take my hand now, oh, lead me closer, 'cause Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
We'll give him all the glory.
We'll give you all the glory.
You all the glory.
We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. Christ the Lord,
for you alone are worthy.
For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. Christ the Lord.
Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now and lead me closer. Because, Lord, I need to meet you there. I need to meet you at that river today, God. I just cast this stuff into the river, Lord. Just let it wash away, God. The junk from the past, the regrets, the sorrow, the what ifs, God. I just want to throw it in the river and let it wash away. And God, we ask the question, what now, Lord? I know you have a plan for each one here. I know you have a plan for me, God.
I need not concern myself with the race that's behind me, Lord, but the one that's ahead. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'd give me wisdom and direction. I pray for others here, and I do pray for some of these young people who have a lot of years left to make lots of decisions. I pray you would guide them and direct them and surround them and protect them, Father. God, you'd give them wisdom and protect them from themselves, even as you did me back in that the day when I wasn't really seeking, but you saved me anyway. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just guide them. And I pray you guide us as well. We have many paths before us, right and wrong. And I pray, God, for each one of us that you would just show us the right path. And God, we want to seek you. We want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And not worry about all the other things, but know that what needs to be added will be added as well. As we seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness. We just thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. I pray your blessing on each home represented here today. I pray, God, for your redemption in families and your redemption in hearts and lives. And God, that you would just set captives free. Yes. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And glory. And God bless everyone.